Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prescribed duties for mankind. Chapter 1, the history of the life of Ajamil, text number 7. Sri Sri Guru Vajja. Na che dihaiva pachitim yatam hasa. Kritasya kuryan mana ukta pani pi. Rugam savai pratya narakam upaiti.
Rugam savai pratya narakam upaiti.
Yeke tita me bhavata stigma yatanaha.
Yeke tita me bhavata stigma.
Sukuru vacham,
Sukuru
vacham, Nacheri haiva pachitim yatam asaha,
Nacheri haiva pachitim yatam asaha,
Kritasya kuryan mana ukta pani pi,
Kritasya kuryan mana ukta pani pi,
Ruvam savai pretya narakanu paiti,
Ruvam savai pretya narakanu paiti,
Bhavata stigma yatanaha. Sri Shukuru Vacha.
Sri Shukuru Vacha.
Srila Sukadeva Goswami said.
Not yet.
If. Iha. Within this life. Eva. Certainly. Apachitim.
Apachitam.
Counteraction.
Atonement.
Yata. Julie.
Amhasa
kritasya. When one has performed simple activities.
Kuriya.
Performs. Manaha.
With the mind.
Words,
pani
bhi, and with the senses,
dhruvam,
undoubtedly.
saha,
that person.
by,
indeed.
pretya,
after death.
Narakam,
different varieties of hellish conditions. Upaiti, attains,
which
kirtitaha,
were already described,
me,
by me,
bhavataha,
unto you,
tigmayatanaha,
in which there is very terrible suffering.
Sukadeva Goswami replied, my dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words and body, are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manusamhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering.
as I have previously described to you. Purport: Srila Vishnanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that although Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee, Sukadeva Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26, Mam chayo vyabhichare na bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityayetam bharama bhuyaya kalpate. Devotional service is so strong that if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes fully to his devotional service, the reactions of his simple life immediately stop. Elsewhere in the Gita, chapter 18, text 66, Lord Krishna urges that one give up all other duties and surrender to him. And he promises, Aham Pham Sarvapapibhyo Moksha Yeshyami, I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principles of bhakti. But to test Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to Karmakanda, the path of fruitive activities. For Karmakanda, there are 80 authorized scriptures, such as Manu Samhita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract his sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive action. This was the path first recommended by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and actually it is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. This is known as atonement.
Vajalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Sukadeva Goswami is, after being questioned by Maharaj Parikshit as to how the living entities can be saved from the reactions to their karma, and despite the fact that a person may have performed many pious activities, it's inevitable that there will be impious actions. In other words, there's good, there's karma and there's vikarma. Of course, the solution to karma and vikarma is akarma, those activities that have no reaction. But for the sake of testing his disciple, Sridev Goswami is mentioning the process of karma kanda first. And Prabhupada says here, the reason why he's doing that is to test his disciple. Because that's not really the solution. So Srila Prabhupada points out in the beginning of the purport, this is not really the solution. And we have to look at the context and the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so many processes and many destinations are described in the Bhagavatam, so that one gets a full, a big picture. One gets the big picture of what is the, what's available, and why certain activities are prescribed by the Vedas. And of course we find in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna doesn't encourage any of these, either the performance of the karma kanda activities. And it's interesting, Prabhupada mentions here, there are 80 authorized scriptures such as Manu Samhita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastra. And sometimes we see it actually, you know, we find devotees quoting from the Dharma Shastra. But it's interesting here, Prabhupada says, this is not, you know, this is part of the Karma Kanda system. And the point is that for those who are not following the process of bhakti, then this is what's required, a strict adherence to the principles of the Dharma Shastra, of the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. But of course, later on, Sukadeva Goswami, having tested Maharaj Pariksit, he says, Maharaj Pariksit says, what's the point of all of this? You perform all of these, you perform all of the atonements to counteract the reactions that one gets from performing impious activities. But still the tendency to perform, the urge to perform the same activities and create more reactions exists within the heart. So what's the point? What's the example that he gives?
Elephant.
Yes, an elephant taking bath. I used to see the elephant at the Adelaide Zoo when I worked at the zoo. Samoan, her name was Samoan. And she used to do that. They'd hose her down and give her a scrub, and then she'd just pick up the dirt and throw it on herself. Very interesting characters, elephants. Quite, you know, for in comparison with the other animals, very smart. Just like human beings in comparison to other animals, very smart. But of course, an animal is an animal. And when a human is behaving like an animal, no better than an animal. And so therefore, the reactions, and this is the point, the reactions that we accrue as a result of our impious or bad association, why the devotees give up. Asatsanga tyag, give up bad association, because that association impels us to act in ways that are unbeneficial for us, that there'll be reactions, negative. There'll be suffering, effectively. And we've just, Maharaj Parikit has just heard, we've just heard all of the varieties of suffering that are described in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. So a compassionate devotee like Sukadev, a quality of a devotee is that they're concerned about the welfare of others. They want to assist others. So in order to highlight the importance of bhakti or devotional service, then these descriptions are given of the Kamakanda section of the Vedas, but of course it's extremely difficult to perform. And even then, having performed all of the atonement, still the inclination to perform those impious activities is not removed from the heart. And so eventually Sukadeva Goswami, having been tested, Maharaj Parikshit, having been tested by Sukadeva Goswami, said, what's the point of all of this? So right at the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, well, actually, this is not the point. But Prabhupada goes straight to the... And he says... He quotes... Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. And then again Prabhupada quotes 1866, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami. If we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna promises. Sarva papebhyo moksha yasyami. I will liberate you from sarva papebhyo, all reactions to sinful activities. Which sounds, at least to me, that sounds much more preferable. Of course, not everybody wants to surrender to Krishna, and so therefore, refer to chapter 5. Oh, sorry, canto 5 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And refer to this section of the Bhagavatam, we're in the Kamakanda portion,
is recommended by Sukadev Goswami. But he's testing Maharaj Preacher's intelligence. Atonement. So the real practice for the devotees is to follow the process of bhakti. And when one follows the process of bhakti, following the prescriptions, the recommendations that are given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one becomes enthused, surcharged with knowledge and the combination of knowledge and the practice of bhakti surcharges the devotee so that they're enthused and inspired. The process of bhakti, by following the scriptural injunctions and by good association, one becomes surcharged with bhakti and is then freed completely from the reactions of one's past sinful activities. But of course this depends on abhyasaya nirantaram. Nirantaram means undeviated or unstoppable practice. And that's mentioned, that's from the Brahma Samhita, at the end of the Brahma Samhita. Krishna instructs Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma has just described, this is before Lord Brahma has even, well, this is my understanding, this is even before Lord Brahma has created has facilitated the creation, yet he gives a whole description of the material realm. But of course, in glorification of Krishna, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And as a result of Lord Brahma's glorification of Krishna and his being the source and the purpose of the material creation is ultimately to come to this point of surrender, Krishna was pleased by Brahma's glorification of himself and his understanding of his purpose, because prior to that, Lord Brahma was confused about what he should be doing. And in the beginning, he understood from his meditation he had to perform austerity, he had to perform sacrifice. And of course that's what's required here in the Karma Kanda. The whole purpose of the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas is to perform jagya, effectively sacrifice, atonement. Atonement is a form of sacrifice whereby one performs a variety of austerities to purify oneself from the reactions of
one's past sinful activities. The whole purpose of sacrifice is to purify the, and it's mentioned here, what's that? Mana ukta panipi. The mind, ukta, the words, panipi, and the senses. And that's translated here. Mind, words, and body. So, after having performed impious acts, one needs to perform austerities or jagya, some sacrifice. And they're the sacrifices that are recommended within the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. And we'll see that with the Vedic culture, spiritual culture, civilized human culture. It's not just follow the mind and the senses and perform activities without restraint or without restriction, but rather, and especially in the human form of life, the purpose is to control the mind and the senses and the actions of the body, ultimately to avoid these kind of reactions, having to suffer in hell. And of course, the culmination of sacrifice, as is mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, is, he describes in the fourth chapter, the purpose of sacrifice. And it's interesting, at the end of that section of the Bhagavad Gita, the performance of sacrifice culminates in what? Does anybody know? 434, tadviti pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya, right? If you want to perform sacrifice, then you need to approach a spiritual master, right? And learn from him what is, you know, what is sacrifice. This is the process of, this is the process of bhakti. And bhakti is so powerful. Bhakti is so powerful that by simply engaging in the process, cultivating knowledge, associating with the devotees, and in associating with the devotees, perfecting the chanting of Hare Krishna. This is our atonement, if you like. It's not really atonement, but effectively it is. Because if one surrenders to Krishna by the process of bhakti, then automatically all of the sinful reactions are... And so Prabhupada's making his point here. Actually, one doesn't need to follow this. This is... Sukadeva Goswami is testing Maharaj Parikshit. It's not that the Bhagavatam is actually recommending these activities, but rather the Bhagavatam culminates in surrender to Krishna, which is what we find in the conclusion, in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end of the Bhagavad Gita is surrender to Krishna and perform devotional service. And then automatically all of the, as Krishna says, all of the purposes of the Vedic literature, all of the teachings of the Vedic literature are arrived at or achieved by the performance, by the surrendering process. And, you know, the surrendering process, not that we surrender once or twice, you know, oh, I surrendered yesterday, but rather the process of surrender is something that happens all of the time. And that's because of the tendency of the conditioned souls in the association of the material energy, in the association of non-devotees, or the tendency is to drift away from the process of bhakti.
You know, surrender is something that one does all of the time. That's the symptom of a pure devotee, actually, is that they follow the process. Even if the tendency is to, or the inclination is for sense gratification or activities extraneous to devotional service, one has to keep coming back. So it's like in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna recommends bringing the mind back under control. You know, something we do when we're chanting Hare Krishna, our japa, is that bringing the mind back to the focus of the sound of the Maha Mantra and to the prayer, oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So the process, the surrendering process of bhakti is complete when one keeps surrendering. You know, we see it with devotees who have been chanting Hare Krishna for 30 or 40 years but then stop. And then wonder why the process doesn't work. If you stop the process, it loses its efficacy. But the interesting point about, and it's mentioned also in the Bhagavad Gita, that for one who has performed activities in bhakti, there is no loss. Interestingly, and we see that here with the story of Ajamil. The potency of bhakti is such that even if one stops the performance, still the effects of past bhakti will have their influence, still will exert their power and their influence over the devotee. So, does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? Is that microphone actually on? There's a green light. Maybe speak directly into the microphone. Or speak louder. Shout.
So that is Agyata
Sukriti
and that's mixed devotional service?
Agyata Sukriti, yes.
Mixed devotional service and pure devotional service. Is that like... Because when we say bhakti, that includes for all three.
good question. Prabhupada mentions that bhakti begins with hearing, right? And chanting. And we see in the Bhagavatam, we're given examples of the Mahajans who... And there's an exemplar for each of the nine processes of bhakti. So, and we know that there are different levels of advancement. This is why Rupa Goswami advises us to identify the various stages or different levels. So Agyata Sukriti is bhakti. And we see that pretty much with Ajamil, because Ajamil, by good association in his as a child and as a young man, was a Brahmana. And so he named his son Narayan. And throughout his later years, he was chanting the name of Narayan. So he was hearing and chanting, but pretty much in ignorance, but still got the benefit, right? So yes, Agyata Sukriti is bhakti, but not very developed. You know, Prabhupada gives the example of a mango, right? A mango is a mango even when it's unripe. It's just that it hasn't matured to the point where it's relishable. Or even you can relish a green mango, right? But it might not perhaps be as relishable as a ripe, as a ripe mango. You know, it's the cows love mangoes. It's funny, you give them a mango and they put the mango in their mouth and then they hold their head up and they're just tasting they're relishing them. Whereas, you know, if you've got a green mango, it's kind of like, ooh, ooh, it's not quite the same. But it's still a mango. So, Agyata Sukriti, Karma Mishra, Bhakti, which is mixed with some, or Jnana Mishra Bhakti, which is tinged with some desire for cultivating knowledge, is not as effective as Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti. But because the Bhakti ingredient is part of that activity, then there are benefits that come, automatically accrue for somebody, even if they don't know it. But Agyata Sukriti, if one hears the chanting of Hare Krishna, and we see that's why the Sankirtan movement is so potent and so, you know, it's been, Krishna has given the Sankirtan Jagya great potency in the Kali Yuga. So people tap their feet and hear the sound and appreciate the chanting, and then they get benefit, right? So the preferred, or you know, the recommended quality, or the most potent quality of bhakti, is anya bilashita shunyam jnana kama jnana pritam. So, you know, no motive for benefit, either in learning or in accumulation of wealth and material facilities. Although those things may be provided for a devotee. One who chants Hare Krishna and performs devotional service is often endowed with learning and with material facilities. But performing bhakti for those purposes is not as powerful or as purifying as that which is performed without motivation. So yes, there's a difference in the quality, but still there are benefits and it's still considered bhakti. But as we're recommended by Rupa Goswami, we need to discern between the different types of bhaktas. In other words, and a bhakta is determined by their bhakti, right? So, what is it? Krishneti yasya giri tam manasa jayeta. We respect all devotees, anybody who chants, we respect. But at the same time, we may not intimately associate with those who chant, but don't follow strictly. Right? We offer our obeisances. We mentally respect those who chant. We offer our obeisances to those who have taken
diksha, dikshesti, che, pranati, bis, pachantam, isham, those who are worshipping Krishna, and presumably those who are who have received diksha means they've received knowledge from the Guru. Right? So those who have received and understood and putting in practice, that then we associate with those individuals. I guess for those who have undergone the process of diksha but haven't realized the learning, then we avoid them because actually the diksha is not complete. Right? That must be what's happening. The diksha, the acceptance of the learning, or the thorough absorption. And of course, diksha means then thorough absorption. What is it? Pariprasnena, what is it? No, pranipatena, so the offering of respects. Pariprasnena, sevaya, so three aspects of surrender, if you like. That's what's required. And then if those items are complete, then the devotee will move to that stage of ananya, what is it? Avyabhicharena bhakti, bhakti without cessation. And that's the required practice of bhakti that brings one to the point of pure devotional service, the cleansing, and we go through those stages, you know, of the ignorant stage, but then the awareness of the practice of bhakti and its potency and the requirements, and that's the clearing stage. But once one's gone through the clearing stage, one then comes to the point of pure devotional service.
Thank you, Prabhupada. That's a wonderful answer. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. But they're all called bhakti. Huh? But they're not all bhakti. Mixed.
So it's depending
on a form of atonement.
A form of atonement.
Yeah, kind of. It just automatically is
included.
Yes, it's part of the deal.
The underlying consciousness behind, like, repentance.
Yeah.
That in the course of time will elicit a higher quality, like humility. That
eventually will lead to the constant surrender. I was trying to make that connection based on what you mentioned. Is that right? Yes, because the devotee will realize I'm not really very surrendered, and that's why I'm still suffering. And that means I'm a fool, which is a symptom of a Majjhima Adhikari, at least, that he doesn't think he's the best devotee, whereas Kanishtha thinks himself, I'm pretty good. But then struggles with material motivation or material desires. And so, you know, we have, what is it, ado, shraddha, first of all, faith. And that faith then brings a devotee into the association of the devotees, sadhu sangha. Then, in the association of the devotees, bhajana kriya, the performance of one's bhajan or bhakti in practice. And then, the development of bhajana kriya, or the refinement of bhajana kriya, is anatta nivritti, removing the inessential.
And that's a process of purification and realization of one's attachments and identifying them and then relinquishing that attachment. And so in that stage, and that's, you know, the clearing or the purifying stage, the chanting of Hare Krishna is perfected in that stage, because that's the purifying process. And in that clearing stage, one has to face the realities of one's weaknesses. And then as a consequence of those realizations, one becomes aware of the weakness of heart. Right? And this is, of course, one of the anattas. Riddhaya durabhavyam. Right? And why the association of the devotees is so important to clear, and the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, is so that we get a clear understanding of what Uttama Bhakti is and what the lesser quality of bhakti is, and we can remove the misgivings, the anattas, from the heart. So yeah, in one sense a form of atonement, right? In one way it is chanting Hare Krishna and realizing one's stupidity. Oh, here's why I'm stuck in the material world, is because I'm not a devotee, I'm a materialist. Which is painful, because, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna and we think, oh, I'm a great devotee. I've got to the point where I know all of the Hare Krishna things to do, right? I pay my obeisances with my feet poking in the right direction. I know all the jargon. And that's good, there's nothing wrong with that. But of course, you know, then we get proud because we know everything. Then we realise, hang on a second, I don't know everything. I thought I knew everything, but now I realise I don't. Oh no, what, how embarrassing. Huh? But that's okay. A devotee is embarrassed by the fact that he's stuck in the material world. But joyous because Krishna's saved him in a variety, you know, in so many ways. Okay, I think we can finish here. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Guru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.